Well, the birthday party has started, hasn't it? And we invite you to join us right after worship for a special celebration of Pentecost. And thanks to those who prepared diligently behind the scenes to make this happen. So please stay for the other aspect of the birthday party. Today we celebrate the birthday of the church. And some parts of our worship today reflect the day on which the church was established, the day of Pentecost. You would have noticed that we are doing a few things a little differently today, for this is a unique birthday party. On birthdays, we give thanks to God for achieving another milestone. And we give thanks today for yet another year in the life of the church. Quite often we reassess our progress and look at our goals as we plan ahead. I recently had a birthday on May the 24th, and it was one of those days when I did quite a lot of reflection, and I'm sure that many of us do likewise. So I'm inviting you today to reflect on what this church means to us. What does a birthday in the church mean to us as we look ahead? It is also a time to extend love, to extend appreciation and encouragement to each other. Now the reading from Acts, and I hope we all understood and followed that reading, it was read for us in English, takes us back to the birthday, the actual day of Pentecost. And we are told that on that day, the disciples were gathered when suddenly there was a sound of a powerful wind which filled the entire house where they were staying. The Holy Spirit had arrived and something special was about to happen. We celebrate birthdays in different ways, and many of us who celebrated Victoria Day weekend, would recall that, and on special occasions, there are signs that it's a special day, and sometimes there are fireworks. So one might argue that on the day of Pentecost, we had fireworks. Listen again to this short excerpt from the Acts of the Apostles. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. We hear that the Spirit rested on each individual as a clear signal of a personal relationship with Christ, so that every tongue, every single tongue, may bear witness and tell of God's glory. So it really points to the personal relationship that we all have with Christ. Something incredible happened at this point, for the apostles began to speak in different languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now I won't go into all of the theology of this, but we are aware of people having the gifts of speaking in tongues and what that means. But on the day of Pentecost, people spoke in languages that they were not trained to speak. They were not learned in that language. However, that's just one part of the story. Luke tells us that there were devout Jews in Jerusalem who had come from every country in the world, known at that time to the people of the Mediterranean region, back in the first century, so the surrounding areas. And by God's plan, and this is critical, by God's plan, they had gathered for the Jewish Harvest Festival, and they were surprised to hear the disciples speaking in their native languages. And I emphasize by God's plan, because throughout the Bible, we see what some people consider coincidences, but they're by God's plan. By God's plan, everyone was called to their hometown for a census. And we know what the rest of that story. That's when Mary and Joseph went to where they should have been. And we can trace situations throughout the Bible where we know that these were not planned. And in our lives, I must say that I'm sure that you can attest to situations where you did not plan, but by God's plan, something wonderful happened in your life. So let us continue to trust in God. So by God's plan, they had gathered. And they were shocked, but could not quite understand what was happening. And it is reported that these were actual languages that were unknown to the speakers, but understood by the hearers. As the good news was proclaimed in the languages of those to whom it was addressed. And this is significant, my friends, as it signals to us that Christianity is inclusive and open to people of all races, all colors, all nationalities, all languages. And today we demonstrated that in a small way, demonstrated our commitment to that by having readings in Farsi, Mandarin, and Kurundi. However, Luke continues to report that all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." I'm sure you have been in conversations where there have been different perspectives. And guess what? Please don't keep trying to convince other people. They've already made up their minds. Present your case and move on. Because quite often, people know exactly where they stand. As always, there are different responses to what is presented. And in this case, there are different responses to the gospel. And we are no different today, for there are people who do not believe the gospel truths, perhaps due to lack of information, or sometimes due to lack of persuasion. Some people are open and believe, while others completely disregard the message. So our responsibility as witnesses is to communicate the message and keep praying that God will touch each and every one of us. But it was Peter who responded. And this is what Peter said, "Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." Now, Peter, I don't know about anyone else here, but I'm aware that people can be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. But Peter's response, I believe, was not meant to be factual or to be sound theology, but it certainly got their attention so that Peter could address them. It's worth noting that Peter's audience would know the Jewish scripture because he was speaking to devout Jews, nor the Jewish scripture, the Old Testament. So he was able to provide them a quotation from the prophet Joel to explain what was happening. And that is the fulfillment of a prophecy in the appearance of the Holy Spirit as the power of God among us. Now, there are truths about the Holy Spirit from the Gospel of John to jog our memory today. And I'll just mention a few very quickly. And when you have a chance, please read John 14 to 16. Tells us a lot about the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus' words. The Holy Spirit shows us God's righteousness and announces God's judgment on evil. The Holy Spirit gives insight into future events. And quite often you would hear people talk about the guidance of the Holy Spirit, having a hunch, having some inkling, and just responding. It happens most often when we are in discernment, when we are trying to make a decision, And quite often it's a good thing just to pause and listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It takes practice, because we all want to act right away, don't we? The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ as Trinity, working together as one God. So these are all very, very important aspects of the work of the Holy Trinity. And again, I invite you, when you have a few minutes, read John 14 to 16. These are all citations from those books of John. The Holy Spirit is described in so many ways as sustainer, as comforter, as friend, as mediator, just to name a few. We know, however, from Scripture that God's presence is often noticeable through distinct symbols, and today's readings provide impressive signs of the Holy Spirit. In the reading from Acts, the images of wind and fire represent the presence of the Holy Spirit with the disciples. And in the Gospel reading from John, Jesus breathed on his disciples so that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And as I reflected on this, I couldn't help but thinking of that hymn, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew." And the school that I attended, we actually had morning worship, and that was one of our favorites. And it's wonderful. And it's actually a good thing just to look at that hymn again. "Breathe on me, breath of God, and fill us with new life each and every day." So today, as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, we're reminded of three evident characteristics of the early church which remain essential for the body of Christ today. First of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit continues to lead and to guide the church. For God is still gathering his people and giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit that heals, that forgives, that inspires, and unites us as one body in Christ. So first of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the emphasis on diversity and inclusion. The Holy Spirit helps us to see beyond all that could divide us, whether it's gender, whether it's sexuality, whether it's age, whether it's race, whatever that might be, whether opinions that could divide us, and unites us as one body in Christ. The reading from Acts lists the places of origins of the witnesses on the day of Pentecost, and that's found in verses 9 to 11. All of the people gathered. And that signals God's intention to include everyone into his church, making it clear that Christ offers salvation to all, to you and to me. And the very last verse of the reading from Acts assures us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's great news, isn't it? Great news. First of all, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the diversity of the church. And thirdly, the importance, the significance of witnessing. You see, the first witness for us, each and every one of us, is ourselves. We have to witness to ourselves as well. Because if we want to rejuvenate the church, if we want to see things happen, it has to begin with me. The early church was commissioned to go and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Jesus said to his disciples, John 20, verse 21, that was read today, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now more than ever, especially with the gift of technology, we must lead by example in proclaiming the gospel and providing Christian service to everyone as we are able. So today emphasizes the gift of the Holy Spirit, the diversity of the body of Christ, and the faithful witness of the church. My friends, God's winds of change are still blowing through the power of the Holy Spirit, which unites us as Christians despite our unique attributes, unites us into one body, the church. And today we celebrate the Holy Spirit as the power of God among us. The Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to witness, to love, and to serve. And we too have that great gift of God's love passed on to us. We too must take a stand against injustice and the abuse of power in society. As we walk alongside those who are stifled by fear, those who are stifled by guilt, or those who are stifled by circumstances beyond their control. So united as one body in Christ, may we follow the example of the disciples and all the saints who have gone before us. And as we celebrate the birthday of the church, may we individually and as a church reaffirm our baptismal vows to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. So my siblings, my sisters and brothers, these thoughts I share with you today in the name of God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit, and God's people will say, Amen.